Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. This is Caroline from the City Mission, and you're listening to Faith in Crisis, serving your neighbors in need. The City Mission is running this half-hour program once a week through the rest of 2017, and we'll be sharing about several urgent issues and opportunities the church has to engage their neighbors in need around the greater Cleveland area. Today, we have a special episode filled with gratitude in honor of the Thanksgiving holiday. So wherever you're coming from or whatever you're heading to, we pray this episode blesses your morning. Today, we want to discuss what the church and community has meant to the longevity and legacy of the City Mission and the thousands of lives that have been changed because of you. So let's jump in by letting our guest introduce himself.
Thanks a lot. My name is Joshua Foote. I'm the Marketing and Communications Director here at the City Mission, and I don't really like my title because I really want to think not so much as marketing, which has a lot of connotations with it that I are not really honestly part of how I do my job, but more importantly to see what I do as being a bridge between the City Mission and the rest of the community here, especially within the body of Christ, to make it aware of what's going on. And so it's something that as I've thought about Thanksgiving, there's a lot of valuable things that kind of in that role of trying to keep the body of Christ connected, it's important to let each other know what's going on. And thinking about Thanksgiving, I think there are some great things that I want to make sure that Cleveland knows is happening, that God is doing. And because it's appropriate also for us to take time to express our thanks to so many people who should be encouraged by what God is doing because they're a part of it.
All right, Josh, we're so glad you're here today. I know you have a wealth of knowledge on this topic. So let's get started by asking, how and why was the City Mission begun?
Well, the City Mission was established over 100 years ago in 1910. And leading up to that, there had been a change in the city of Cleveland that was sort of twofold. On the one hand, a lot of faith centers and churches had begun to migrate further away from the inner city area as the metropolitan area grew. And at the same time, there had been a large influx of people who were coming to the city looking for work and opportunities, many of them finding it, many of them not. And for those that didn't, there began to be this growing number of people who were living in poverty, who had needs. Many of them came from, had immigrated to the country from other places. And that was really the main population that had grown. And at that point, there began to be discussion between the city leaders, the government city leaders, and members of the church, in which the city was really asking, saying, you know, to meet this need, it needs to come from the church, and looking to establish what they called a spiritual center in the downtown area, with a strong eye on people in crisis, but also accepting that and realizing the need for spiritual change in their lives too, and this is a great foundational story for us and has a lot to do with why we're continuing to do what we do now. So at that time, with the help of an instrumental man named Mel Trotter, who really came and established the City Mission here along with a large number of missions throughout the country, leadership was found and a small group was established. In fact, the first budget of the mission was set when they had a banquet or a meeting to share with the community what was needed and what the goals were, and an offering was taken, and about $5,000 were raised, and that became the budget for the first year. The ministry began that way. They set up in an old saloon area, and the irony wasn't lost on the leadership that something that had contributed to the alcoholism of many was being used to bring people out of it. At the time, even then, there were services intentionally for both men, women, and children. There were a lot of Sunday school classes, and central to what was happening was the care for immediate needs of people who were in deep poverty. And right alongside that, every step of the way, was the presentation of the gospel and the wanting to meet of the spiritual needs that were clearly there too. Since then, the city has changed a lot, and the services we offer have changed with it as we've seen needs grow and change. There are just a lot of things that are still strong in the foundation that was laid kind of during those early years and are still very important to us today.
So what are the core principles that the City Mission has always stood on, and how do they impact our work?
Wow, that is a big question, but let me try to answer it as best I can. Some of the core principles would be, first I got to start with the importance of the gospel, that everything else that we do is aimed at that, and that's how we were at the beginning, and that's how we continue to be. Just presenting the gospel of grace to all people, but especially to those who are in a position of suffering or poverty, and people who are experiencing crisis. Also, I would say collaboration with the city, collaboration with other members of the body of Christ. There's just no way we could do what we do without it. It's funny because I keep feeling like I'm talking about the original Thanksgiving here with faith in Christ and with the joining of different parties of things. So anyway, that's kind of fun. But other things would be adaptability is another core thing. We wouldn't be relevant if we weren't open to both our eyes open and our hearts open to see how things are changing, see how the people that we serve, how their needs have changed, how different things that have happened in our world has had a big impact on who is experiencing poverty and what the impact of it is and what the source of it is. And so we've adapted in many ways to meet those changes. Maybe a final thing I would mention would be our dependence on God's provision. And this is something I mentioned the story about how the budget being set just based on what was going to come in a single offering. And that was the budget for the year. And that was not just the first year. That was how they operated for several years after that in the early years of the City Mission. And since then, our annual budget has grown quite a bit. But to me, that's just God has shown more and more his provision. We don't take any government money, and we are completely dependent on individual people along with foundations and groups choosing to support what we do. And we see this as a critical part of how we are led and directed by God, because we respond based on how God provides. As God has been faithful and blessing our ministries, and sometimes that he has used that to show that it's time for us to look for new ways to expand what we're doing and to increase our effectiveness. Other times, just by having plans that are not supported by the donations we've gotten, God has said to us in our history, we need to focus a little bit differently. Maybe we need to, I'm thinking of a time during the recession in the early 2000s, there were a lot of things the mission was doing, but we weren't able to sustain. And so it was a time where we focused back again on what are the most critical things that we're doing. And I think God used that to prepare us even for a time we have now, where we have strong confirmation of where our need is, what we're able to do that others in the community have more difficulty doing. And I think that it's just one of the ways God leads us. It's also, I should say, that dependence on God's provision is also critical, not just to our budget. But just to our effectiveness, there's no way we could introduce people who are struggling with poverty to a life that is focused on and transformed by God if we weren't modeling that we depend on God just as much, that we depend on God as an organization, as individuals that are here. So it's absolutely critical, for sure.
Yes, there's no doubt around the office that our commitment is to reaching hearts and changing lives only because of what Christ has done in our own lives. So what major service changes has the City Mission undergone throughout history?
Well, let's see. The primary ministry at the very beginning was just a safe place for people to come off the street, and once they're there, to make sure their basic needs were met, and in that connection, to share with them the gospel, sharing the love of Christ both practically and through the Word, those elements are still here. But some of the significant changes, let's see, we've changed locations a number of times, each one usually corresponding with a shift in the size and scope of the ministry. I think it was about 50 years ago was the first establishment of what we now would call like a long-term transformational program, essentially having residents, people who are here for a planned long-term focused on a season of change in their life that, besides including a separation from their past life, practical training and experience, discipleship, that happened in, like I said, in about 50 years ago or so. We went through a season where we utilized a campground, that I've spoken to people who were with us during that time, and it was a huge impact on both men, women, and kids who were there, it gave a great opportunity for a retreat here, that it gave different groups who were here, again, both men and later women and their kids, a chance to kind of take a fresh perspective by going there. And that's something we have since handed over to the Nature Conservancy, something we were no longer able to utilize or utilize effectively, but they are. And so we're really happy that was a resource we could give to them and still contribute, again, to our community that way. Maybe the biggest one recently would be, and by recently I mean like the mid-80s, the growth and response to the growing number of moms and kids and women who are homeless. So Angeline Home was established as the first women's shelter in Cleveland, and it wasn't really too long after that at all that the Laura's Home Women's Crisis Center was established, which is currently the largest shelter for moms with kids here in Cleveland. I think last I'll just mention the introduction of on-site mental health services that have been going on here for a handful of years now, and that came out of just an understanding of how significant mental health is as both a cause and an effect of being in crisis. I believe we're the only site for the only homeless shelter in Cleveland that has on-site mental health professionals. And critically, all of those mental health professionals are licensed, but also firm believers in Christ. And they're able to both address the clinical mental health needs that they're seeing, but also reinforce that with biblical truth and with a spiritual aspect of life that our men and women that are here are experiencing too.
Yeah, you can definitely see the ways that the City Mission has adapted over time to meet the needs of the community and the culture of the time. So that being said, why does Cleveland still need the City Mission?
Well, to answer the question as simply as I can, there are so many people who still need the critical things we offer. Emergency services, just that, you know, we identify that as help. And, you know, as the recent news has covered the needs of women and children who are overflowing the shelters that are available. Without the city mission, there would be about 120 additional women and children not being served, just as a practical means. And our men's shelter has also been at right at and full at capacity for several months, and that represents another 120 or so men. And just from a numbers perspective, that help aspect of it. Also because we uniquely provide long-term opportunities for people to transform their lives. And I don't think that's necessary for everyone experiencing crisis, although I think it probably could be beneficial to most. But in so many of the cases, it's critical. And the current strategy that the county is taking really focuses on the quick response, housing first, rapid rehousing too. There are a lot of advantages to that. But for people who just have influences in their life that make their life unmanageable without a significant season of change, the resources that they get will be hard to keep. For those who need a time of healing and guidance to make these kind of changes in their life, there really isn't another source to go to for them. And so we're glad that God is able to use us that way. And we're thankful that we get to see Him work through those things.
And being a 100% faith-based organization, how has the church had an impact on the city mission?
Really, that's a question that you could almost probably spend a whole episode just focusing on that. It comes in all directions. We were established out of local churches working together, banding together. And so we don't see ourselves as just a partner with the local church, the body of Christ here, but an extension of it. Also important, I want to mention that we don't see ourselves as a substitute for it either. Being connected to a local body of believers is not just something we encourage, but we require of those who are going through the long-term program that we offer. And the reason is because we know we're an important but temporary spiritual influence at a critical point in people's lives, but it won't be the last critical point in their lives. And they need, just like we all do, a body of believers to be a part of. And we're so grateful to the churches that have worked with us closely here, but also those who have ministered to the men, women, and children that have joined their body of believers while they're here, reinforcing the work God is doing through the city mission, and then just serving them in a number of ways in addition to that. Just not enough can be said of the support we receive from churches, the prayer support. I hope one day to understand through God's eyes exactly how much of an impact that prayer has. So many I know that we're unaware of are supporting what we do every day because of that, and I wish we knew more of what was happening so we could really adequately appreciate it. And the financial support and the volunteer groups that come and really, I think our work would basically cease in a day if the local churches and the people who are part of the local body of Christ stopped supporting what we do.
Yeah, all of what you said is so true. We could not function without the support and love of the church. You might have a unique perspective on this, being in the marketing and communications side of things. How would you like to see the church become more involved in our work, Josh?
I think I just want to mention one way, and it is I would love to see the church grow in how it actively communicates, educates itself as a body to the needs that it sees. This is something the church is very good at in many areas, and especially in missionary services. I would love to see the approach that that's common when it comes to understanding missionaries, different mission fields, and the unique needs and challenges that they face, transferred to actively understanding the needs of people in crisis right here in this community. Christ constantly demonstrated an insight into the people who came and asked for help from him, whether it was for healing for themselves or for others. And I think of the man who was lowered by his friends for healing, and Christ's first response is to forgive him of his sins, or the man with leprosy who came to Jesus, and Jesus' first act is to touch him before he was healed, knowing that just the significance of being touched if you have leprosy, and the ministry, and so there is an opportunity for the church to experience God's ministry so much fuller if they understand some of the complexities and some of the needs that go beyond what they would expect. We see this a lot when people come and take a tour of one of our facilities, and the common response is, I had no idea that you do these many different things here. And if someone's interested, myself or anyone on staff would love to do that. If it's helpful to have a tour for a church or a small group or any individual to see, not just to see what we do, but by seeing what we do to understand what the needs really are right now, how better can the body of Christ help those in crisis if they understand what their situations are and what their real needs are.
Yes, and the easiest way to learn more about all of these things is to head to www.thecitymission.org. And being that this is a Thanksgiving episode, why are we especially grateful for the Cleveland Church and Cleveland community in 2017?
Well, we are so thankful to God just daily to see the support that he brings us through the people here in Cleveland. This year, part of the roof of Laura's home blew off, and although it was insured, a significant part of that needed to be covered outside of the insurance, and the immediate response of the community of Cleveland to that, just besides meeting the actual need, was just so encouraging. We've also seen people gather around the women and children who were coming to us, who were in overflow from the county shelters. And as we became aware of those needs and made them known, just people responded, just constantly responding, and just the willingness of people to see a need and under no compulsion to allow their hearts to be touched and the Spirit of God to move through them to help other people. And we get to see that daily, and we're so thankful for all of them. And again, in my area, we're part of the communication that comes in the form of donations. And I was speaking with someone who processes many of those donations at this time of year. There's a lot. She has a lot to do, but she was just sharing how touched she is by there's some donors she just knows by name because of their faithfulness, not because of the size of the gift they send in necessarily, but just the consistency that which she sees them, just the regularity of it just continues to touch her heart on a regular basis. And there are hundreds of people like that, we're so thankful for them, and we're thankful for a community of Cleveland. I've lived in a few other cities, and I've worked with homeless shelters in other cities, and the Cleveland community is so ready to care. So ready to care for those in need, and so willing to not just write a check, but to get involved, and just again, we're so grateful for that. Grateful for people who are collecting anything from socks and underwear to providing running shoes for women who are participating in our run, for community partners that sponsor our events or come paint walls to refresh the environment that our men and women are in. Just as a community, there's a spirit of banding together with one another that is different than what I've seen in other places, and God works through that, and we are grateful for that. It inspires us to continue, also I have to mention how thankful we are for the men and women who come here themselves. I have the privilege of interviewing sometimes some of the men and women and learning their stories and hearing what God's doing in their life. And each one is a blessing and a testimony. It's inescapable evidence of the presence of God active in people's lives. And so each of those just are a gift. And so we're thankful for them too, and what they provide for us in our own spiritual walk and encouragement.
I am definitely thankful for all of those things as well. All right, Josh, as we wrap up, any special encouragements for the church as we look ahead to 2018 and finish strong around the holidays in 2017?
Well, this year, God has been speaking to me a lot through the book of Colossians. I just want to maybe just share these verses as in way of a prayer for the church of Cleveland, for each local body, for each group of believers, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And as God answers that prayer, we will not lack for things to be thankful for. As long as our hearts are open to see them, they'll be there. And so I guess that's my little Thanksgiving message.
Thank you, Josh, so much for your time today. And I wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving. And for all of you listeners, we hope you know how blessed we feel that you've tuned in to hear more from the City Mission about these urgent issues and opportunities the church has to engage their neighbors in need, and especially today, how you've been doing it for the past 107 years. The City Mission could not do this important work without you. Your time, talents, and treasure are so critical to the recovery and stability of the hurting and homeless in our city. Today, because of you, hundreds of people are not just eating Thanksgiving dinner. They're finding help, heart, and home at the City Mission through the transforming power of God's love. If you want to learn more about our history and the work that we do, you can visit our website, www.thecitymission.org. And we pray that all of you have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, spending time with family and friends, and being reminded of the many blessings that God has placed on your life. Tune in again next week, Thursday at 10 a.m. for Faith in Crisis, Serving Your Neighbors in Need, produced by The City Mission.